be when the order is given to censor your mind as free speech is forbidden, as martyrs for peace from the world will be driven away by the sound of a bellowing thunder and choke on the blood of a dream going under. From every direction, we cry revolution.
Hello, Jason Rink here. This is the Liberty Voice, and today is June 24th, 2010. Just want to talk about a few topics today. As always, these articles can be found at thelibertyvoice.com. The first thing that I wanted to talk about is regarding Deepwater Horizon, the oil leak down there in the Gulf. And this is something that was posted on the site here just yesterday. It says, according to Wayne Madsen report, sources within the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and Federal Emergency Management Agency, the Pentagon and Interior and Energy Departments, so these are just a bunch of bureaucrats and unelected officials in numerous departments most of us have never heard of. They told the Obama administration that the newly discovered estimated 3.4 barrels of oil, no, 3 to 4 billion barrels of oil in the Gulf of Mexico would cover America's oil needs for up to 8 months if there was a military attack on Iran that resulted in the bottling up of the Strait of Hormuz to oil tanker traffic, resulting in a cutoff of the oil to the United States from the Persian Gulf. Okay, so essentially, down in the Gulf of Mexico, there was discovered this reserve of oil, 3 to 4 billion barrels of oil in the Gulf, that would supply America's oil needs for up to 8 months if there happened to be a military attack on Iran. And so what ended up happening was Obama and his administration, they green-lighted the risky Macondo drilling operation from the outset. And the reason that they did this was because they wanted to make sure that if we happened to go to war with Iran, that our oil supply would still be intact. And what has come to the surface is it's been revealed that BP was able to have several safety checks waived because of the high level of interest by the White House and the Pentagon in tapping the Gulf of Mexico to find this oil in order to plan a military attack on Iran. So here's the question that this all poses. There's a few questions. Number one, if this is true, that this Deepwater Horizon drilling was done in order to sort of secure some additional oil reserves in case there's a war with Iran. The question is are we closer to a war with Iran than we're being led to believe? They green-lighted the project, okay? They waived safety measures that would normally have been required. And so here we have this idea that it, perhaps a war with Iran is being actively planned. It is historically accurate that presidents who, go down to about 40% approval ratings, which is where our president is right now, that presidents have only been able to recover from those type of public approval ratings by going to war. Check it out. This is a historical accuracy. This is a fact. And so Obama and his administration find themselves in a difficult situation where their policies have been so unpopular with the general public that the only way out is to go to war. So that's one thing that I think is going on here. Another thing that's going on right here is that we have the government, which everybody says that the government is necessary to make ensure the safety, to ensure that there isn't any corporate monopolies, that they're there for the public good, all these different things. We have a situation where the federal government, who's been entrusted with the safety and oversight of these type of things, they have essentially given BP a pass on this drilling effort, and they waived certain security and safety measures Why? Because they had a vested interest in getting this oil tapped. And so the federal government totally failed in making this a safe drilling expedition. In fact, we could argue that this never would have happened if we were in a true free market without government intervention in this whole thing. You know, what people say and what people want to say is they want to say that without government, we would never have any safety oversight, we would never have any quality control, we'd never have any protection from fraud, that it would be the Wild West of corporations. Well, number one, that's totally untrue. But what's more important is understanding that the federal government, their intervention actually incentivizes that type of activity. Because now we have the entire general public placing their trust and faith in the federal government. All right, there are no external safety monitoring organizations. Why not? Because there's no free market need for it. The government's going to take care of it. But what happens when the government has a conflict of interest, as they have in this situation? They waive the safety requirements. They allow the drilling. Why? Because they want the oil, because they want to go to war with Iran, because Obama's approval ratings are in the tank, and the only way for him to dig himself out of that is to go to war. So that's another thing I want to point out. The third thing that we want to point out is that BP does not deserve to be absolved here. That's not what I'm saying. And that's not what the argument here is. The argument is that when the government is in charge of all of these things, they are also in a position to give access, show favoritism, do quid pro quo so that, the government can get certain things that they want by giving the corporation certain things that they want. And so, really, this is all about this crony capitalism and corporatism that has just come to dominate modern politics today. So that's the first story I want to point out to you. That's up on thelibertyvoice.com. Here's another one I want to point out. It's called More Guns Equals Less Crime. And this article starts out, you know what the mainstream media thinks about guns and our freedom to carry them? Pierre Thomas of ABC, when someone gets angry or when they snap, they're going to be able to have access to weapons. Okay, Chris Matthews of MSNBC. I wonder if in a free society, violence is always going to be a part of it if guns are available. And Keith Olbermann, it says, who usually can't be topped for absurdity, organizations like the NRA are trying to increase deaths by gun in this country. Okay, so number one, what we're seeing here is the typical flawed premise of the progressives, which says if you make guns more difficult to obtain, if you make guns illegal, you're going to stop violent crimes. Well, that is actually not what's happened. In fact, John Lott in More Guns, Less Crime explains that crime fell by 10% in the year after laws were passed to relax gun possession laws. A reason for the drop in crime may have been that criminals suddenly worried that their next victim might be armed. Indeed, criminals in states with high civilian gun ownership were the most worried about encountering armed citizens. No kidding. Okay, so let's just think about this logically. In places, in states where there's a high number of civilians with guns, criminals are the most worried about encountering an armed civilian. No kidding. Makes total sense. Only complete brainwashed progressives can't get this. Okay? In Canada and Britain, both with tough gun control laws, almost half of all burglaries occur when residents are home. Think about that. Where the gun control laws are the most stringent, burglars don't even care if people are home. Why? Because they have guns. Half of all the burglaries occur when residents are at home. In the United States, where many households contain guns, only 13% of burglaries happen when someone's at home. Do you think there's a correlation? Okay? A couple of observations here. Number one, police officers show up after a crime is committed, not before. Okay? Armed law enforcement does not deter crime because they aren't omnipresent, and thank God they're not. I mean, really the only way to get around this and the only way to disarm the public and prevent crime is to put an armed, you know, government official at the door of every home or on the block of every street or whatever. Okay? So we can have a complete and total police state in America, and that'll keep us safe. Okay, no thanks. Why not have guns in every home? People can protect themselves. Okay? Second thing is, so police officers are not really a deterrent to crime. They come after the fact most of the times. Armed citizens are a deterrent because criminals never know if that old lady is going to be packing heat. Look, criminals aren't going to go bust into a house where people are home if they think that there's a 90% chance that that person has got a gun. It just doesn't make sense. So restrictive laws against possessing firearms only keep firearms from law-abiding citizens. This is the classic example of laws are there to keep honest people honest. You see, as we've made drugs illegal, it's only placed the drug trade in the hands of criminals. As we make guns illegal, it'll only place the gun trade into the hands of criminals. It's the case with everything that you try to make illegal, a black market pops up, it becomes more profitable, and criminals are not worried about the gun possession regulations. I mean, it's funny, you go into an establishment, a bar in some states, and there's a sticker on the window, and it says, you know, there's a 6-month jail sentence and a $10,000 fine for carrying a firearm into this establishment. Well, the funny thing about that is that might be a deterrent for a law-abiding citizen, but if somebody's getting ready to go in there and rob the joint, the last thing they're concerned about is the $10,000 fine and 6 months in jail they might get for carrying a gun into an unauthorized location. You see what I'm saying here? So those that are going to commit crimes are going to commit crimes anyway. The penalty against committing the crime, if that's not deterrent enough, the penalty for possessing an illegal firearm is not going to be higher than committing the crime of murdering somebody or armed robbery. Think about this, people. The argument just doesn't make sense. Something else that's interesting about this article, and again, it's up at thelibertyvoice.com, is that gun lobby groups are not necessarily our friends. And the NRA, it's mentioned in here, and we're not going to get into this necessarily, but they have just gotten involved and are backing, you know, some legislation that is going to seriously compromise our First Amendment rights. The NRA has gotten on board with it because they've managed to get themselves excluded from some of these onerous regulations. All right? But there's still going to be regulations on free speech to the American people. So the NRA cares about the Second Amendment, or so they say, but they're not quite as concerned about the First Amendment. And see, what this proves and what this shows is that many lobby groups, including the NRA, are primarily concerned with one thing, political access. They're concerned about having access to politicians and politicians having access to their constituencies or to who they represent. And so, you gun owners out there who think that the NRA is out there protecting your freedom, I got news for you, and you may already know this, but they've been behind some of the most egregious legislation regarding gun control to show that they're a good, you know, United States citizen, you know, a good organization, and that they don't want criminals to get guns. They've been behind certain types of legislation that's really, you know, infringed on the right to bear arms. And now they're in a position where they're leveraging their position and power to try to allow the federal government to infringe on our First Amendment rights. Again, that article is not up there, but it's linked to in this article, More Guns, Less Crime. Finally, this third article I want to point out actually sort of connects the two articles. And it's titled, Progressives Want Direct Action, but a Disarmed Public. It's Paul Craig Roberts, and what he's doing is he's commenting on another article that was written. It appeared in Truth Out, and you can find that article by coming to thelibertyvoice.com, linking through this article by Paul Craig Roberts. What's going on here is the author of this Truth Out article is talking about, you know, this whole BP Gulf of Mexico situation. Here's what it says. He says, reports have been coming out of the Gulf for days about British Petroleum blocking access to beaches and animal cleaning stations. In some instances, using private Blackwater-style mercenaries to do so. Okay, it's great. Journalists as well as citizens have been thwarted in their attempts to see for themselves the extent of the damage being done by the runaway Deepwater Horizon disaster. Know what I'd like to see? I would like to see 1,000 people, 10,000, 100,000, just show the hell up down there and demand access. Citizens and reporters alike, just get down there, link arms, and walk to the beaches and the marshlands with digital cameras and cell phones for instantaneous blogging what they see, hear, and smell. Pile into as many rented, borrowed, and begged boats as can be mustered and plow out there to the scene of the crime. Dare them to stop us. One of two things would happen, and this is getting to the point. Either the people would break through those unconscionable corporate barriers and show the world what's really going on in the Gulf, or the forces BP has arrayed against the truth would react with violence, which would tell us everything we need to know about what is happening, and would be enough to break that goddamn criminal corporation finally and forever. Either way, there'd be thousands of people down there to chronicle what is happening, a ready-made army of volunteers, which can also pitch in as best they can and begin the epic process of trying to undo what has been done. Alright, so what this guy is suggesting, and this is a progressive writer here, he is saying, look, we need to go down there in big numbers, and we need to just, you know, these Blackwater guys, just, you know, give them the finger, and we just go down there and we see for ourselves, and we be the citizen media, and you know, Blackwater be damned. And, you know, it could end in violence. All right, and so Paul Craig Roberts is commenting on this, and what he's saying is, you know, this is really funny, because you guys are the same progressives who want to disarm the citizens, and do you realize that showing up with cell phones and cameras when these Blackwater-style mercenaries have the most advanced military technology on the market is not such a good idea? It may be a good idea in exposing what's going on, but in a war between guns and cameras, guns win. And so Paul Craig Roberts is pointing out a very huge inconsistency with a lot of progressives. And I'm going to tell you right now, conservatives have a ton of inconsistencies too. And we'll end up covering plenty of those. But right now we're focusing on this because what Paul Craig Roberts says, and this is great, he says, ever since it became apparent to progressives, despite their faith in government, that the Bush-Cheney regime was an enormous threat to American liberty, to the environment, to truth, and to world peace, progressives have continued their campaigns to disarm the American people and reduce them to grist for the Bush-Cheney-Obama police state mill. The obvious question is, how can we trust progressives when they are such reliable agents of the police state? Here's the thing. Why is it that when the Bush administration's in power, they don't trust government, but now that the left is in power, they trust government, or even if they don't see the problem in the fact that they still lobby for us all to be disarmed? It just doesn't make sense. He goes on to say, every civil liberty is reduced to the Second Amendment. This was recognized by our founding fathers, especially Thomas Jefferson. And it was completely understood by William Blackstone, England's greatest jurist. Blackstone wrote that whenever government broke free from the constraints placed on it by civil liberty, the, quote, last right of the subject is having arms for their defense. Blackstone wrote in the 18th century that when legal constraints on government fail, physical checks remain. The right to bear arms expresses the natural right of resistance and self-preservation. When the sanctions of society and laws are found insufficient to restrain violence and oppression. Yes, this is the point. The Second Amendment exists so that, at a last resort, we have guns to defend ourselves against our government. This is a fact. This is the truth. The Second Amendment was not put in there so that we could go hunting. The Second Amendment was put in there so we could defend ourselves against tyranny. And do you know what tyrants want? Tyrants want citizens and subjects without guns. Why? Because cameras don't hurt as bad. And they want to take our cameras too, because they don't want any evidence that they're being tyrants. The police officers don't want us to see their abuse of power. The military doesn't want us to see their abuse of power. The congressmen and the senators don't want us to see their violations of the Constitution and their backroom deals. They want to operate in secret. And I'm not talking about every police officer and every, you know, member of the military and every member of Congress. I'm talking about the systems as a whole. And if you don't believe me, just look at what different states are trying to do to ban, and cities are trying to do to ban citizens being able to film police officers. Why? Why? Look, they work for us. We don't work for them. We should be able to film everything they do. It's completely reversed. The same with the military. We should see what's going on over there. You know, people are mad about this collateral murder video that's come out, and they say this guy has betrayed America. Really? I paid for those weapons. I paid for those tanks, for those helicopters. I pay those salaries. And you know what? I'm not okay. I'm not okay with this, you know, power run rampant, with this unchecked aggression, and with the fact that we are over in other parts of this country murdering civilians, because I haven't bought into the propaganda. I know that these are not a bunch of ragheads who want to fly planes into our buildings. I recognize that these are men, women, and children, families who are looking to make themselves a better life, who are looking to pursue their own life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness over in a land halfway across the world that we know nothing about. That's who those civilians are. They're not responsible for their leaders. They're not responsible for their governments. And as we go across this world swaggering, arrogantly, acting as though we can barge down any door we want and take over any regime we want and put down any ruler we want and raise up any ruler we want, we are going to get some people mad. And right now, we're fighting civilians who've been radicalized over in the Middle East. I don't know how I got off on that tangent. But listen, the Second Amendment, people, is what protects us against that kind of aggression. The Founding Fathers said, James Madison said, look, the tools that we use for conquest overseas will become the tools that are brought back to enslave us. He was talking about the military-industrial complex. He was talking about standing armies. He was talking about the growth of power of the federal government. And they have a monopoly on violence. And so we've got to be armed, and we've got to know how to use our arms, not to go out and commit crimes, but to protect ourselves against the criminals at the federal level. Paul Craig Roberts goes on to say, if progressives like William Rivers Pitt want direct action from Americans, they will have to give up their agenda of disarming the citizenry. Otherwise, they're going to get people killed for nothing, while the rest become Big Brother's obedient servants, accepting a bare subsistence from a caring government in exchange for docility. He goes on, makes a couple of more important points, I'm getting ready to wrap up. He says, it's the conservatives who are armed and think the enemies are blacks, Hispanics, pinko, liberal commies, and terrorists. Recently, a friend of mine told me that Obama was a Marxist. This is a key point. Really? How did a Marxist get elected with the support of the U.S. military security complex, the support of AIPAC, the insurance industry, Wall Street, and Big Oil? How much money do Marxists have with which to make campaign contributions? I mean, really, it is extraordinary that anyone could possibly believe that a stealth Marxist could gain the White House. If he did, once he showed his colors, he would be assassinated, and Iran would be blamed, followed by an invasion. The other day I saw a young man with a t-shirt with Obama's image. Under it was the caption, Socialist. The stupidity of the Americans is extraordinary. Wall Street is going to put a socialist in the White House? If the word under Obama's image had been prostitute, the message would have been on target. This is the thing. Obama is not a Marxist. He and those on the far left may possess some Marxist ideologies. And he may be implementing some apparently Marxist policies. However, who benefits most from these policies? Check it out. Those that are benefiting most from what Obama is doing are corporations who have access and are the beneficiaries of this. Look who is excluded from the banking reforms. Look who's really penalized. It's small banks, not the big banks, not the big brokerages, because they have the power and influence. Not Goldman Sachs, not JP Morgan Chase. They have the power and influence. Okay? The military-industrial complex. What that is corporations who have more money to influence the policy in this country so that they can continue to sell arms and products to the U.S. government. And this is what's going on. It's corporatism. It's fascism. So if you want to be accurate about this thing, Obama is a fascist. He's using socialist rhetoric because, listen, the social justice and socialism and wealth distribution message is very popular with people who don't understand what's really going on. Fascism is not popular. Benefiting corporations is not popular. But you know what? Obama is using socialist rhetoric to promote a fascist and Marxist rhetoric to promote a fascist, you know, plan and implement a fascist plan to give governments, it's to solidify the government corporate, you know, conglomerate. So that's where I'm going to leave it today. Those three articles are all up at thelibertyvoice.com. I want to encourage you, subscribe to The Liberty Voice. It's $20 a year. You get the actual Liberty Voice sent to you in the mail, the physical copy. And, you know, find a way to support us. We're trying to expand into the Austin, Texas area, expand to other cities in this nation. Jason Rink with The Liberty Voice signing off. Bad legislation. If you looked in the eyes of a thousand young children through fences of razors, their innocence stolen as the red flag of tyranny flies in the open, is that when you